EZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The man accused of killing Charlie Kirk appeared virtually at a hearing today in Utah. Tyler Robinson did not waive his right to a preliminary hearing.
With Tyler Robinson listening in remotely from the Utah County Jail, the judge said he wanted to lay down some ground rules that Robinson is presumed innocent and his constitutional rights will be protected, as will the rights of the victims. The judge making it clear that court hearings and the trial will be open for the public to hear.
These proceedings will be open to the public, conducted in accordance with the law and handled with diligence and competence.
Robinson's next court date was set for October 30th.
ABC's Alex Stone reporting. Police in Michigan say they are still searching for a motive in Sunday's deadly church attack in Grand Blanc, with four people killed, along with the gunman also dying in a shootout with officers. Federal authorities today say they're investigating that attack as targeted. On Wall Street, stocks are mixed. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. New changes have officially gone into effect for Wisconsin's supplemental nutrition program for women, infants, and children. According to the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, the changes implemented to the WIC program on Monday will offer recipients expanded food choices, more options for special diets, and additional support for healthy eating habits. Among the changes are an extra $3 for fruits and vegetables, more options for infant foods, and more whole grain options for women who are pregnant, breastfeeding, or postpartum. Health officials are advising residents to keep an eye out for animals like bats searching for new homes as temperatures begin to drop. As the colder weather sets in and animals like bats search for more protection, their risk of making accidental contact with humans and their pets increases. With an increase in accidental contact, the risk of people and pets contracting rabies from one of those animals also increases. If you do come into contact with a bat, you should try to capture it and submit it to your local health department to test for rabies. The Washburn County Board continued discussions about the need for a new jail at their meeting this month. The current county jail does not meet Wisconsin Department of Correction housing requirements for certain inmates, and officials say the cost of transporting those inmates to other facilities can be anywhere between $45 and $155 per day. The county board voted against purchasing real estate in the town of Bashaw for a new county jail earlier this year and have been discussing another potential jail site in Shell Lake. The Shell Lake School District reported a balanced budget for this year at its school board meeting this month. Like many school districts across the state, Shell Lake has struggled with budget constraints amid declining enrollment and increased costs. Superintendent Todd Felthoffer noted during the meeting that while the budget is balanced, more of the financial burden has shifted from state aid to taxpayers. The district also recently approved hiring an outside consultant to assist with school referendums after failing to pass two last year. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
Final score, 40-40. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Cowboys and the Packers battled through overtime, only to have the game end in a 40-40 tie. It was Micah Parsons' first game back against the Cowboys. What was his reaction to the draw?
I'm not even gonna lie, I'm pissed off. I'm very disappointed. You know, I even told Jordan to the side, you know, thank you for having our back today.
So the Packers are now 2-1-1 heading into their bye. Did the Packers do anything different? I asked Cowboys defensive lineman Kenny Clark.
Yeah, it was all the same. I mean, same stuff we expected. 1-2-1 is way better than 1-3.
Baseball, the Brewers beat the Reds 4-2, and now they wait to find out who they'll face in the playoffs. When did they realize that they had turned the season around?
We were going to lose our third game in a row, I believe, in Pittsburgh on a dreary, cold day, and we had 3-0-2 doubles. It was a grinder day, and then since then, I don't know what our record was, but it was really, really darn good.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for the Midwest Farm Report with me, Pam Yonke.
It is going to be sunny and warm again today, high in the low to mid-80s this afternoon. Tonight, partly to mostly cloudy. We're going to drop into the upper 50s to near 60 for a low. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high right around 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 75.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You know what I'm a sucker for at a Chinese buffet?
Crab rangoons.
Yep. I'll have about four or five of those things.
And they have cocktail weenies, which is a nice delicacy at the Chinese buffet.
You know, I'm trying to think of a buffet I went to that had cocktail weenies.
Who's eating that?
I don't know.
Even if you have a gourmet recipe at home, you're not making cocktail weenies. You're certainly not eating them when you go to the Chinese buffet.
Yeah.
Kind of weird.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
She's a broadcasting legend in Wisconsin, and we're lucky enough to have her here at Civic Media. We start our new segment. Jane Matinere joins us for Matinere Mondays. Next time, join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, welcome to the third hour of our program. Annual enrollment is coming. This is for the Affordable Care Act, and this is going to get real interesting. The Democrats are responding to Donald Trump and the Republicans' big, butt-ugly bill, the BBB, right? The Democrats are responding to it by saying, you got $1 trillion worth of cuts in health care to Americans. Average Americans. And you've got over $1 trillion in tax cuts to your billionaire buddies and yourselves. A lot of these Republicans are billionaires. There's 13 billionaires in Trump's cabinet. Trump is a billionaire. And every Republican in Congress is dancing to the tune of billionaires. And Rick Scott is close to being a billionaire. So what happens? And so, you know, so what they've done with the big butt ugly bill is they have said, we're going to take the money that it was going to health care for average Americans, and we're going to give that money to the billionaires. And those average Americans are going to get screwed, you know, the Affordable Care Act subsidies and the Medicaid program. And it's pretty obvious. I mean, you know, the Republicans are not denying this. And the Democrats have boiled their shut down the government message. And by the way, if you're not familiar with how this works, the government operates on a fiscal year. It goes from September to, or from, excuse me, October. It starts on October 1st and ends on September 30th every year. So, you know, you and I probably go by calendar years, you know, January 1st to December 31st. But the government goes from October 1st to September 30th. And what that means is that on October 1st, day after tomorrow, 2027 begins for the government. It's the 2027 fiscal year. 2026 fiscal year ends tomorrow. And with that ending of the fiscal year, a whole lot of funding for the government ends. And so without Congress passing new funding bills, things start shutting down. Now, the administration can choose what shuts down. They've got a fairly good-sized pot of money even without, you know, all of congressional funding. And so they can keep the air traffic controllers at work and the ATC people at work, although there are concerns. The last time there was a government shutdown, the security people, transportation security, TSA, the TSA people in the airports, you know, the lines started getting really long because a lot of them just started calling in sick. Hey, if we're not getting paid, we're not going to show up for work. And, you know, some of them don't get paid, some of them get paid late, and some of them continue to get paid, but whatever. You know, things get weird. The national parks shut down, the Smithsonian shuts down, stuff like that. But the big deal is that these cuts to the Affordable Care Act, these subsidies, when they go away on October 1st, or maybe it's January 1st, I believe it's, in fact, I'm certain that it is January 1st that the Affordable Care Act subsidies vanish. But the open enrollment period for the Affordable Care Act, when you have to renew your policy, starts on November 1st and goes to January 15th. And so the insurance companies have to let people know well before November 1st how much they're going to have to pay next year. So these notices are going to start going out in about 2 weeks, in the middle of October. Everybody, and this is, you know, 20, 25 million Americans who are on health care plans through the Affordable Care Act, and many of them don't even realize it's through the Affordable Care Act. But anyhow, all these people who are on the Affordable Care Act are going to get a notice in the mail saying your premium is going to go from X to X plus, right? It's going to go up 20%, 30%, 50%. And it looks like most of the increases are actually going to be in the 50 to 100% range because the subsidy was keeping those prices low. This is how the Republicans are trying to dismantle Obamacare. They're trying to do it piece by piece by gutting these subsidies. You'll recall, you know, they over 50 times in the House of Representatives they voted to end altogether Obamacare, to just throw those 27 odd million Americans off their health insurance altogether, and say, hey, you know, you want insurance? Go to one of the big profitable companies who contribute to my campaign. You know, go to United Health, go to whatever. And so people. Just imagine this, you know, the Democrats are out here saying, we want to maintain the subsidies so that people's health insurance costs don't go up. And the Republicans are saying, we won't go along with that. We're going to shut down the government. The Republicans are trying to pretend that the shutdown is all the Democrats' fault. And you could argue, actually, that there is some truth to that, because the Democrats are filibustering this budget, this continuing resolution that'll keep the government open at current spending levels until, you know, sometime early next year. They are filibustering this in the Senate, or they're going to filibuster it in the Senate. And which means it's going to take 60 votes, which means they're going to need 7 votes from the Democrats to make it happen. And the Democrats are just saying, you're not going to get our votes. Ain't going to happen. And Republicans have played this game over and over and over again, and now the Democrats are saying, it's our turn. And, you know, for the first week or two, it's just going to be, oh, my God, look at this. The Smithsonian just closed down the national parks. They'll have, you know, they always do this on TV. You know, they'll have some, you know, family with their kids standing out in front of Yellowstone going, we planned this vacation for 2 years. It's been our dream, and now it's closed. Or, you know, somebody at the Smithsonian echoing the same thing. They'll do all that kind of, you know, human interest stuff. But then those letters start going out in about 2 weeks, roughly 2 weeks from right now. And 2 to 3 weeks from now, people are getting the letters and going, what? And that's the point at which the news stories are going to shift from, oh, we can't get into Yellowstone, to, holy crap, my insurance bill just went up $5,000 a year. And when that happens, you're going to see some real pressure on the Republicans. So, bottom line here, the Democrats just need to hold firm. And Chuck Schumer said this over the weekend, and Hakeem Jeffries said this over the weekend on different programs on the Sunday shows, that this is it. You know, we're going to stand firm on this. Now, I had suggested, you know, a week or so ago that they should also throw in the Epstein files just, just to make it juicy. But, you know, they're not going to, and if they did, that would give them something they could compromise on. They could say, okay, we're not going to fight for the Epstein files right now, but we still want them. But, you know, we'll let the government open back up if you give us health care. But actually what they're doing is they're saying, we're just going to stand here on health care, and we're not going to let you take this down. We are going to fight for this. And I think they're going to kick ass. I think this shutdown is going to blow up in Trump's face. And that and I think that the Republicans have just realized this. And that's why right now, well, actually right now, I think Trump is meeting with Netanyahu. But very, very soon, you're going to see Trump and Hakeem Jeffries and Chuck Schumer all getting together. And Trump is either going to roll over or he's going to get rolled over. And I suspect it's going to be the latter. So keep an eye on this. I think it's going to get very, very interesting. And I think it's going to get very interesting a whole lot sooner than any of us realize. It's 14 and a half minutes past the hour. I got to tell you about what's going on in this these privatized, for-profit prisons that are holding migrants. It is horrendous. It is shocking. I'll share it with you right after the break. Stay tuned. It's, as I said, just about 15 minutes past the hour. We'll be right back.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Also, a geeky science that, you know, completely blows up in the face of Bob Kennedy, but it looks like we know where autism came from and why it's in our gene pool. Stick around. If you're a homeowner in America, you need to listen to this. The FBI has been warning about a type of real estate fraud on the rise called title theft, and your equity is their target. Here's how it works. Criminals forge your signature on a single document, use a fake notary stamp, and file it with the county. And just like that, on record, they own your home. Using your ownership, they then take out loans against your equity or even sell your property. And you won't know about it until foreclosure or collection notices show up in your mail. That's why I've partnered with Home Title Lock so you can protect your equity and find out today if you're already a victim. Go to HomeTitleLock.com/Tom, T-H-O-M. You get a free title history report and a free trial of their $1 million triple lock protection. That's 24-7 monitoring of your title records, urgent alerts to any changes, and if fraud occurs, their U.S.-based restoration team will spend up to $1 million to fix it. Find out why I trust Home Title Lock. Protect yourself like Louise and I did. Go to HomeTitleLock.com/Tom. That's HomeTitleLock.com/T-H-O-M. Get ready to go for the green and gold right here on this local civic media station. Your keyword for this hour in the multi-state contest is necklace, N-E-C-K-L-A-C-E, necklace. Text in the keyword before the end of this hour for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And to be entered to win Civic Media's grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay.
Swing big at Big Fish Golf Club in Hayward, bringing you the Go for the Green and Gold text to win on WBZH, the Buzz of the North. Mention Big G and get $20 off your next round. Hurry, offer ends October 31st.
The Buzz of the North is now your home for Milwaukee Brewers baseball.
Fly ball, right field, it is deep, it is gone!
Milwaukee Brewer baseball on 96.9 WBZH, the Buzz of the North.
Fly ball, deep right! Back to back!
Milwaukee Brewer Baseball on 96.9 WBZH.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Honey, the credit card bill came, and we're maxed out.
Maxed out cards, rent is due. We just need some extra cash to help us get by.
Maybe we should go to 27cash.com.
With our bad credit?
27cash.com is one of the largest personal loan networks. They can help people with any type of credit get up to $5,000, and cash can hit our bank account as soon as tomorrow.
When you need extra cash, go to 27cash.com. That's 27cash.com. 27cash.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Tom Tiffany, the Republican congressman representing Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, has finally made it official. He's running for governor. The election for governor in 2026 is the state's first open race for the office since 2010, and it's sure to invite many candidates to run. And on the Republican side, Tiffany's is the most significant announcement yet. There's a very good chance that he is going to be the Republican nominee for governor at this time next year. If that proves to be the case, it would signify a major shift in the center of power for Republican politics in Wisconsin. For so long, it's been the WOW counties, Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington, three of the counties that surround Milwaukee, that have been the Republican stronghold in the state. But if Tiffany is the one on the top of the ticket, it will be the most clear indicator yet of how the party has shifted from more of a suburban one to one where GOP voters are more centered in exurban or rural areas.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com.
try to silence voices. They tighten the chains. Corrupted by money, addicted to power and fame. But history whispers through the cries of the streets, the heart of the people will not admit defeat. When the powerful fear the people, democracy wins. The fire of freedom is burning within. We rise, we resist. We won't bow down again. When the democracy wins. They hide behind shadows.
21 minutes past the hour. Welcome back. So this is an absolutely shocking report that was published today, or maybe perhaps yesterday, over at theguardian.com, theguardian.com, which of course is the kind of left-wing British newspaper that has a wide circulation here in the United States. I subscribe to it. You can actually subscribe to it. And this is by Alexandria Villarreal. And she writes, children, including the very young, have been spending weeks or months in an Immigration and Customs Enforcement ICE detention facility in a remote part of Texas, where outside monitors have heard accounts of shortages of clean drinking water, chronic sleep deprivation, and kids struggling for hygiene supplies and prompt medical attention. This is a facility in the town of Dilley. It's about an hour southwest of San Antonio. It's run like a prison. The guards refer to the children as inmates. It's called the South Texas Family Residential Center. It's run by a company called Core Civic, which, according to this report, expects to make $180 million in revenue annually, or excuse me, not annually, from the property through at least March of 2030. And here's what she writes. This is, I'm just quoting from The Guardian here for you. This is what these children are experiencing. Prolonged, vaguely explained detention. This goes beyond the general legal limit of 20 days for children, which accounts for children held for 2 or 3 months and a family detained for 45 days, then released, then quickly re-detained. It's essentially, no longer quoting, essentially to get around the law. Back to the article. Lack of access to drinkable water. Families have not wanted to consume what they say is dirty water that smells so horrible. But drinking water is drinkable water is often unavailable unless they buy it. Sleep deprivation. Children especially are suffering sleeplessness because the lights are never switched off. While officials slam doors, walk in and out frequently, and speak loudly on walkie-talkies all night. Inadequate medical care. One boy complained of acute stomach pain for 6 hours before he vomited and ended up being rushed to the hospital for emergency surgery for appendicitis. Monitors observed, quote, children with diseases like leukemia or on the autism spectrum suffering immensely from missing needed therapies and the harsh conditions. Lack of hygiene products. Apart from liquid hand soap, she writes, which reportedly can cause rashes and hives, shampoo and body soap must be paid for. This is astonishing. Emotional abuse. Mothers give, I'm still reading from the article. Mothers give accounts such as, I am not allowed to hold my husband's hand anywhere. There is no place where we can speak privately. And self-harm. One parent said his son's exhaustion, distress, and anxiety over continued detention led him to, quote, start throwing himself against the floor and getting bruises. The Guardian reached out to Core Civic and said, what do you say about this? And they said, we got nothing to say. The Core Civic chose not to comment, actually, is how the Guardian writer puts it. Meanwhile, a dreamer has become the 16th person that we know of to die in one of these facilities. Ishmael Ayala Uribe, a 39-year-old Mexican man. He suffered from hypertension and tachycardia. Hypertension is a fancy word for high blood pressure. Tachycardia is a fancy word for your heartbeats occasionally too fast. And these are treated with medication. I have hypertension. I take medication for it. And his family said he has high blood pressure, but was otherwise healthy. Federal records show that more than a dozen people have died in immigration detention since January. His brother told the Los Angeles Times that he got sick with a cough and a fever shortly after he arrived at the Adelantao facility on 22 August. His family told the Los Angeles Times that his cries for help and concern about his health fell on deaf ears at the privately run ICE facility. These are big corporations making huge profits with our tax dollars doing this to these people. He was picked up at an immigration raid in his workplace, Fountain Valley Auto Wash, where his family said he had worked for 15 years. He applied for and received deferred action for childhood arrivals protection in 2012. He was a DACA person. Now, they pulled this in 2016, and he's had a couple of DUIs, apparently, and so that's apparently the rationale that they used for holding him. And now he's dead. Untreated hypertension causes strokes and heart attacks, mostly strokes, but it can also cause a heart attack. And untreated tachycardia, I believe, can cause a heart attack. I'm not a physician. But this is what's being done in our names. This is what's being done with your and my tax dollars. And I don't understand why more Americans aren't just furious, just absolutely furious about this. Now, I'm not saying that we should do anything violent about it, obviously. But certainly, reaching out to your members of Congress, speaking to your elected representatives, talking to the people in your state, if there's an ICE facility in your state, this is being done in our names. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
I got an incredible geeky science for you right after the break, and I'll pick up the call. Stay with us.
A single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS, or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you. We promise. Call the tax doctor right now. I mean right now to learn more.
800-554-0206. 800-554-0206. 800-554-0206. That's 800-554-0206.
What is Recover Now? It's a movement to get clean and sober, started by you, friends and family members, or maybe even the person suffering from an alcohol or drug problem. Recover Now is a free service that helps people find treatment facilities covered by private insurance to help them start the road to recovery and succeed. If you or a loved one wants to recover now, call this number. It's a free call. Many of our treatment counselors have been exactly where you are, and they know what you're going
going through and how to help you get where you want to be. And that is on the road to recovery with one free phone call. My specialist will check your insurance and help you get the best treatment for your needs. Remember, get clean, get sober. Use Recover Now as your free service. Here's the number.
800-357-8110. 800-357-8110. 800-357-8110. That's 800-357-8110.
Pat Kreitlow. On Tuesday, we'll talk to Dan Schaefer about the newest candidate for Wisconsin governor and Cam Stevenson from the nation's capital on the approaching government shutdown.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. With the federal student aid application period opening in October, a Wisconsin nonprofit is reminding residents of the services they offer to help borrowers across the state. The Wisconsin Coalition on Student Debt, or DebtSmart, seeks to help Wisconsin students navigate the loan process with free practical tools and a helpline. Organization officials also say Wisconsin residents have a lower than average amount of student loan debt, but there's still a great deal of confusion around pandemic-related forbearances and changes to income-driven repayment plans. Wisconsin residents still have time to submit their vote for the coolest thing made in the state. The first round of voting for the 10th annual Coolest Thing Made in Wisconsin contest will close on Tuesday, and the 16 finalists of the nearly 150 nominees will be announced on Wednesday. The top 16 finalists will compete in a bracket-style tournament until a winner is crowned at Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce's Business Day event on October 23rd. Residents can vote in the contest once per day by email. Wisconsin Supreme Court candidate Judge Chris Taylor made a pair of campaign stops in northwest Wisconsin last week. Judge Taylor visited the Shawamagon Democrats' office in Ashland and the Washburn Public Library, speaking with area residents about why she's running and taking questions on topics like redistricting. Judge Taylor is currently running unopposed for the election next April after conservative state Supreme Court Justice Rebecca Bradley announced she would not seek re-election. Another conservative-backed candidate has not yet emerged. Northland College's campus has officially been listed for sale months after the school's permanent closure. A commercial real estate company called Newmark has listed the 100-acre campus for sale, including educational buildings, the fitness center, and residence halls. The school has already sold a handful of its individual properties, including the baseball and softball fields, in recent weeks. At the time, officials said their goal was to sell the campus as a whole to a single buyer rather than splitting the land into different parcels in different sales. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
It is going to be sunny and warm again today, high in the low to mid-80s this afternoon. Tonight, partly to mostly cloudy. We're going to drop into the upper 50s to near 60 for a low. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high right around 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 75.
Get ready to go for the green and gold right here on this local Civic Media station. Your keyword for this hour in the multi-state contest is necklace, N-E-C-K-L-A-C-E, necklace. Text in the keyword before the end of this hour for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And to be entered to win Civic Media's grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show. Heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, getting to know another candidate for the Wisconsin governor's race. State Senator Kelda Royce joins us in hour number 2. Don't miss it.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
So much for all of your support. Help support Progressive Radio. If you're listening to us on a commercial station, call their advertisers and let them know you're listening. If you're listening to us on Pacifica, one of our many nonprofit stations, please support them when they do their fundraising drives. Thanks for supporting Progressive Talk Radio and tag your it. I knew we all have two ages, you know, our actual and our body's internal biological age. What I didn't know is I've likely lowered my biological age without even knowing. Here's the thing, because Americans eat so many processed foods and not enough fruit and veggies, many, perhaps most, are 10 plus years older on the inside than their actual age. They're ticking time bombs. A major university study suggests how to slow aging and diffuse that biological time bomb. Participants slowed their aging by drinking Field of Greens. That's all. They didn't change their eating, drinking, or exercise, just Field of Greens. Each fruit and vegetable in Field of Greens was doctor-selected for specific health benefits. Cell health, heart, lungs, kidneys, metabolism, even healthy weight. I feel great knowing Field of Greens can slow how quickly I'm aging. And I encourage you to join me. Swap your untested fruit, vegetable, or green drink for Field of Greens while there's time. Check out the university study and get 20% off when you use the promo code TOM, T-H-O-M, at fieldofgreens.com. That's fieldofgreens.com, promo code TOM.
The world burns.
Hey, welcome back. It's 35 minutes past the hour, and Senator Ron Wyden is on the line with us. He's my senator here in Oregon. He serves on several committees, including Senate Finance, where he's ranking member. He's the author of It Takes Chutzpah, How to Fight Fearlessly for Progressive Change. His website is wyden.senate.gov, which is also his blue sky handle. He's Ron Wyden over on Twitter. Senator, welcome back to the program. It's been a while since we talked. It's always great having you with us. I'm curious your thoughts on what's happening here with Donald Trump sending troops into Portland.
Well, he's just engaged in make-believe, creating fantasies. And just so everybody knows, I managed yesterday to make it back from war-ravaged Portland, the hellhole that he's always, you know, talking about. And I thought, Tom, people might be interested in knowing in 2024, the murder rate in our hometown is half the rate in Topeka, Kansas. And I think it's important people participate in looking at the data, and that's pretty simple.
Is Topeka a similar-sized red city?
It's certainly a place that everybody is talking about as being safe and secure, and and their crime rate is much higher than ours.
Yeah, amazing. You have been outspoken in calling for, and you're on the Finance Committee. You've been, in fact, you're the ranking member. You've been looking at these what you can get your hands on, I guess, reports about Jeffrey Epstein, and I don't know if Donald Trump is involved in this, but, you know, huge, over $1 billion in transfers of money. Do you think it's possible that one of the reasons Trump is coming after Portland is to punish you for speaking out about this? And you want to tell our audience what you've been calling for? Because I know you've even sponsored legislation to this effect.
I have, and I think this is an example, Tom, of something you and I have talked about over the years. It's an example of the system being rigged. You know, here you got a guy who was a substitute school teacher back east, and suddenly over a few years he became a billionaire. And basically it was about sex trafficking, and it wasn't just on the East Coast, it was in the South and the like. And what I've been saying is the reason it took place, and I just sent a letter to J.P. Morgan, for example, asking about, you know, their role in this, Jamie Dimon. And, you know, I'm just very troubled about the fact that the people at the top, the banks, the auditors, the henchmen that Epstein has had, they seem to get off scot-free. But if you're one of the little guys, you're the first people somebody says, oh, that's the criminal. And to me, you can't have a double standard.
Do you think it's something as crass as Epstein was handing young girls off to banking executives or billionaires in exchange for that? They were handing him cash?
Well, all the executives are denying it. But for example, one of the first things that we saw is through J.P. Morgan, you know, there were thousands and thousands of wire transfers. And the wire transfers were clearly involving, in some instances, these executives and young women. And it sure looks like the connection is there.
Wow. Have you uncovered any evidence that Donald Trump was involved in that?
What I've read, of course, is the reports in the news and the birthday cards and all of this kind of thing. What I've said is that I'm going to stay with it until all the facts come out, all of the facts, you know, come out, and then we're going to initiate reforms. For example, Tom, the banks have a requirement that in these kinds of instances, they make sure that the public is and data is out there for law enforcement and that the public is protected. That clearly wasn't done, and that's why I'm raising it just in the last week or so with J.P. Morgan.
That's great. Just to get back to Portland for a minute here before we wrap this up, I don't know if you saw it, but one of the really viral videos about Portland that I saw yesterday, and I think it happened yesterday, it might have been Saturday, was a long line of people, maybe, I don't know, 50 people or so, coming down to the ICE building, all of them holding flowers. And they were laying the flowers down on the sidewalk in front of the ICE building. I mean, this is the Antifa assault, right? And our mayor, our governor, our attorney general now has initiated a lawsuit. Hopefully this remains peaceful and everything. I mean, one kid with a Molotov cocktail will provide Fox News with a 24-hour loop, right? What advice do you have for people here in Portland? You know, I'm assuming it's, you know, stay safe and just bring flowers, nothing else. But and how do you think it should best be handled? And perhaps most importantly, is it legal or even possible if we've seen in other cities some examples where the ICE guys have come out and just assaulted protesters illegally? You know, people who are standing in public streets just randomly getting assaulted. Is there a time when it's appropriate for the Portland Police Department or the state police here to start arresting ICE officers?
Well, first of all, the Portland police, as you've seen in the Oregonian, Tom, have already been saying that a lot of this whole thing is being, you know, generated from the outside, and they want the opportunity for our city to take steps to protect the public and safety. Let me tell you the striking thing about the last 24 hours. The Oregonian last night sent their reporters all over the city. You know, they sent them out to blanket communities and get a reaction. And they basically came back with virtually nothing. There was one incident apparently in this one area that was sort of MAGA started or some such thing, but there was virtually nothing. And all those Oregonian reporters who were looking for, you know, scoops didn't have it. Now, you made the final point that's so important, and that is that we have to do everything we can to keep the peace and not allow the Trump folks to incite violence, because it doesn't take much to suddenly start, you know, a huge violent situation. So we showed it last night. We got to keep it going. It's an important string. There's a lot on the line. And I say, come to our city. I'll take you all over. I'll take you for Baskin Robbins and Northeast.
There you go. Yeah. And hopefully we don't see provocations, you know, Proud Boys or whatever. They've got a big presence here. Trying to start something as if it was, you know, Portlanders or left-wingers or, you know, I'm very, very concerned about this. Senator,
I'm very concerned, too, and everything I'm seeing is that people are saying we're going to do a lot better than we did in 2020 when we had some provocation, and citizens are committed to that.
Yeah, I get it. Senator, thank you so much for dropping by. It's great talking.
Thanks for having me, Tom. It's a great show.
Always a pleasure. I hope one of these days, you know, Bernie for 11 years came on this program every Friday and for a whole hour and took calls from listeners. If you ever, and now we've got Congressman Ro Khanna and Congressman Mark Pocan, you know, for the Progressive Caucus, who do this every other week and take calls for an hour. If you ever want to drop by.
Kind of like a Hartman town meeting. Sounds good. I'll be there.
That's exactly what it is. It's a national town hall meeting. Talkers Magazine says our audience is 6 million. That's, of course, across the course of an entire week. But it's quite a platform. So if you'd ever like to take calls from listeners for an hour, we'd love to have you.
I'm coming by, and you got a bunch of witnesses hearing me say it.
Okay. Senator Ron Wyden, one of the best.
Take care.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
It's 43 minutes past the hour. Let's pick up some calls here. And before I do, I had a geeky science here that I'd promised, and let me just share that with you, and then we'll take a break and then get to your calls. This is fascinating. Autism, you know, Bob Kennedy, of course, and Donald Trump, don't take your Tylenol, it'll cause autism and all this kind of nonsense. But it turns out, this is a piece that was published over in Science Daily. From an evolutionary perspective, many scientists believe that autism may be unique to humans. It's very rare to find behaviors associated with this in non-human primates, even in you know, apes and monkeys. Researchers have investigated recently published cross-species single nucleus RNA sequencing data set from three distinct regions of the mammalian brain. And they found that the most abundant type of outer layer brain neurons, the L23IT neurons, evolved exceptionally quickly in the human lineage compared to the other apes. Surprisingly, I'm quoting from the study, surprisingly, this accelerated evolution was accompanied by dramatic changes in autism-associated genes. Furthermore, the capacity for speech production and comprehension unique to humans is often affected by autism. It's possible that the rapid evolution of autism-linked genes conferred a fitness advantage by slowing down postnatal brain development, that's, you know, afterbirth brain development, and increasing the capacity for language. It was beneficial to human evolution because it led to more complex thinking. This is a quote from one of the authors, the lead author, in fact, Dr. Alexander L. Starr. He says, our results suggest that some of the genetic changes that make the human brain unique also made humans more neurodiverse. So, no, it's not Tylenol. It's genetics to a large extent. I mean, obviously, there may be other factors, there may be other conditions, and there may be some things that we're calling autism that aren't. But somebody should tell Bob Kennedy about this. It's all over the science press. I'll be back with your calls right after this break. Stick around. It's 45 minutes past the hour.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
It's the place where we dare to ask, is Walmart a person? And we dare to say, give me a break. We'll be right back. If you snore and your partner hasn't moved to another room yet, congratulations. You've either found true love or your partner has no other place to go. Hey, let's talk about what your partner really wants in bed. Silence. If you want to actually impress them in bed, stop keeping them awake from your snoring and give them 8 hours of uninterrupted sleep. Zepa is the only FDA-approved and patented anti-snoring solution invented by a leading sleep doctor that stops snoring at the source. Zepa has a 91% success rate backed by a 91-night sleep guarantee. For a limited time, go to Zepa.com and use the code TOM, T-H-O-M, or text TOM to 511-511 and get the absolute best solution guaranteed to stop your snoring with the Happy Z-Pack and save over 24% off. Plus, Zepa will donate $10 to breast cancer research. Visit ZYPPAH.com, use the code TOM, or text TOM to 511-511 and save over 24% with the Happy Z-Pack and start improving your sleep health today. Remember, Zepa is Happy Z spelled backwards. Text fees may apply.
Big Fish Golf Club in Hayward is teeing it up with the goal for the green and gold text to win on WBZH, the Buzz of the North. Say my name, Big G, and slice $20 off your next round, now through October 31st.
Is violent crime in the U.S. higher than 25 years ago? No. Violent crime is lower nationally and in major cities than 25 years ago, according to FBI and Justice Department data. In 2023, cities with 250,000 or more people reported 771 violent crimes per 100,000 residents, down from 1,093 in 2000. Nationally, violent crime has stayed below 400 incidents per 100,000 residents for a decade, compared to about 500 in the late 1990s. Pew Research reported a 49% drop in violent crime, which includes murder, rape, robbery, and aggravated assault since 1993. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The midterm gerrymandering arms race is on. With the current balance of power in the U.S. Congress, 219 Republicans to 213 Democrats. Red states Texas and Missouri have finished manipulating their congressional maps. What states are next? Heeding President Donald Trump's call to gerrymander more GOP seats, Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe signed the legislature's new congressional map September 28th, splitting a Kansas City district to likely gain one more congressional seat for the GOP. Texas Governor Greg Abbott signed a plan August 29th, gerrymandering five GOP seats. A Democratic plan in California awaits a referendum in November. September 23rd, Democratic Kansas Governor Laura Kelly called for meetings around the state to hear public testimony on mid-decade redistricting and avoided calling a special session. Meanwhile, the GOP, with its supermajority in the state House and Senate, needs signatures from two-thirds of the legislature to call a special session for itself. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis said in August that redistricting would be, quote, appropriate, but there's been no concrete action thus far. Ohio's redistricting committee met September 24th, ahead of a September 30th deadline. Governors Kelly Ayotte in New Hampshire and Kay Ivey in Alabama have said they do not support reopening the redistricting process. We've linked to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Health officials say close to 1,000 people in Wisconsin die by suicide every year. It's Suicide Prevention Month, and if you are struggling, call 988 anytime for support. A message from the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us. What if I told you most collagen products aren't just a waste of money? They're loaded with toxins that could lead to skin issues, heart problems, even cognitive decline. Scary, but it's true. See, collagen is the most abundant protein in your body, and your natural supply drops as you age. That's why so many people your age are turning to collagen to relieve joint pain, rebuild bones, and even look years younger. But here's the catch. You have to know what to look for. You could end up doing yourself more harm than good. Before you buy another tub from Amazon or your local store, go check out the top five collagen warnings every American needs to see, along with a special offer. It's a quick read that could save your health and your wallet. Right now, get a special bundle deal at a fraction of the retail price, plus free shipping. This offer is only available at getnativepath.com/Hartman. That's spelled get, G-E-T, native, path, P-A-T-H, .com/Hartman, H-A-R-T-M-A-N-N, two N's at the end. For that special bundle deal at a fraction of the retail price, plus free shipping and the top five collagen warnings, getnativepath.com/Hartman. Welcome back. 51 minutes past the hour. Picking up your calls here, Sharon in Crystal Lake, Illinois. Hey, Sharon. Thanks for listening to WCPT. What's up?
Well, hi, Tom. I was just wondering if you had seen the picture yesterday, and I had only seen it. I had only saw it a couple times, but the guy, the Michigan shooter guy who rammed his truck into the church, they actually showed a picture of his truck with two American flags in the back of his truck.
Yeah.
And at least around here, that's like, to me, a big mega.
Well, it goes beyond that. He had a Trump sign in his yard, or on the side of his barn, I guess. That Google Maps shows that, and he on Facebook has been photographed with his wife and son, at some lake or something, some recreational thing, wearing a T-shirt that said Trump on it in big letters, and then below that it said "Make Liberals Cry Again."
Yeah, I wish that the media would be bringing some of that up.
Well, first, I mean, right after the shooting, Trump came out and said, this has got to be, you know, anti-Christian, which is another code for left-wing violence. And then it came out that this guy is a big Trump supporter, and all of a sudden the media just went silent. And, that's how it works. And it's just so wrong. It is just so crazy wrong. Now, Sharon, thank you for the call.
Maybe Jimmy Kimmel will bring it up tonight.
I hope so. His audience is growing, I can tell you that. Sharon, thanks for the call. It's great to hear from you.
Thanks,
appreciate
Tom.
It.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Lisa in Jersey City, New Jersey. Hey, Lisa, what's on your mind?
Hello.
Hey.
I want to talk about paper clips. I heard you say that you knew that the paper clip was a resistance symbol in one of the occupied countries.
That was my recollection.
And the country was Norway.
Norway, thank you. Oh, my grandfather's land.
Yeah. I know about it because of a wonderful film that I want to talk about. It's called Paper Clips. It came out around 2003, and it's about a middle school in a rural part of Tennessee that's really close to where the Scopes Monkey Trial took place, and also the birthplace of the KKK. But this middle school recognized that their kids needed diversity education, and they sent educators to a workshop about Holocaust studies. And they came back and they started this program, and the students in the first year of the program, this was in the 1990s, said, I don't know what a million looks like. They were talking about 6 million Jews, 20 million people, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And one of the middle schoolers said, what's a million look like? So the teacher said, well, let's collect a million something to see. And the students did the research and found out that the paperclip was invented in Norway shortly before the war. And because they were a new office supply and there weren't too many of them, if you had a paperclip, you didn't want to lose it. So you'd put it on your shirt pocket or your shirt collar to keep it. And that's how it became a resistance symbol, because when the Nazis invaded, if you had a paperclip on your shirt lapel, people who were in the resistance could see it, and they'd say, oh, they'd like know for each other.
Wow.
Like the Christian fish back in the persecution time.
Yeah.
You know, they'd know, like, oh, you're a Christian, so yeah, you're safe to talk to. You got
you're,
a paperclip.
You're part of the club, yeah. That's remarkable.
Exactly, yeah. So the kids started to collect, and a German foreign correspondent couple who were based in Washington, they heard the story, and they helped the school locate an original freight car that had transported people to the camps, and they brought it to Whitwell.
Whoa.
It landed in Baltimore Harbor on September 11, 2001.
Oh, my.
And it made it to the middle school, and the students set up this beautiful, beautiful memorial, and they act as the educators at it, and it's operated ever since. I did learn, I called not long after the attacks on October 7th to see if what was going on with the middle school memorial there, and they had closed it because they were concerned about violence.
Wow.
But I recently looked it up again, and they had reopened. So God willing, they'll stay open. It's such a powerful film. It's called Paperclips. Please, everybody, look it up.
Where would you find it? Is it on net?
I found it originally in the cutout bin of a Blockbuster, but I think it's up on
YouTube. Is it online? Is it like on Amazon Prime or Netflix?
Sean
is nodding her head. She says it is.
Yeah, if not, one of the servers ought to pick it up, because it's just a beautiful, beautiful film. And I use it when I teach, because I teach in an urban area. Uh-huh. And our students have, you know, ideas about rural people and stereotypes. So it's great to open up people's minds about
remarkable.
These wonderful people in Whitwell, Tennessee, and the project that they did.
That's great. Lisa, thanks so much for sharing that with us from Jersey City there. Appreciate the call. And thank you for being with us today. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. In the meantime, don't forget, democracy is not a spectator sport. It requires all of us, and that includes you. So get out there, get active, tag, you're it. Have a great afternoon. Be good to yourself and the folks around you. Stay safe. And I'll catch up with you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit tomhartman.com.
The Constitution is very clear. Government must not endorse religion. Yet in Texas and Arkansas, lawmakers try to force the Ten Commandments into every classroom. Thanks to lawsuits brought by the Freedom From Religion Foundation, federal judges stepped in, calling these laws, quote, obviously unconstitutional. This is not just about posters on the wall. It's about whether America remains a pluralistic democracy or slips toward theocracy. These victories show the courts are still willing to defend that core principle of church-state separation, and that is essential to protecting every American's freedom of conscience. If you care about preserving democracy, truth in the classroom, and the Constitution itself, now is the time to act. Go to ffrf.us/school or text my last name, Hartman, with two N's, to 511-511 to become a member. Because public funds should fund public education, not religious and
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz. And President Trump and Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, after holding talks on Gaza and seeing a new proposed broker by the U.S., are holding a joint conference. That proposal on peace includes demands for both Hamas and Israel to end the war immediately, all remaining hostages released within 72 hours of that ceasefire, and a possible path for a future Palestinian state. ABC's Karen Travers says Netanyahu, in a call with Qatari leaders, offered an apology for Israeli strikes in Doha.
According to a readout from the White House, the Prime Minister expressed deep regret that Israel's strike earlier this month unintentionally killed a Qatari serviceman, and also that they violated Qatari sovereignty, and affirmed that Israel will not conduct such a strike like that inside Qatar again.
In Michigan, state and federal authorities say they still don't have a motive for Sunday's church attack that killed four people. The suspected shooter drove his truck into an LDS church in Grand Blanc, shooting and then setting the building on fire. This is ABC News.